wood, laid with a brilliant red rug. Channels of water ran along either wall and sloshed under the boardwalk.
Ricketts likes the finer things,
Cade said. No kidding. A splashing sound made me turn. I squinted at the water, but saw nothing. I shook my head. No way there were fish down here. You hear that?
Aye.
Cade's brow furrowed.
Let's go. There will be more people down here. I'm not keen on running into them. We need the element of surprise.
Right. Antidote first, though. We set off across the boardwalk, crossing under an arch. This room was more like a long hallway, narrower, but with the same wooden boardwalk hovering over the flooded ground. He really went to a lot of effort to work underground, I whispered.
Hardly worth it, Cade said.
The hair stood up on the back of my neck as we made our way deeper into Ricketts' lair. So far it was empty, but it wouldn't stay that way. There were several doors up ahead, and we hurried toward them. Searching every room in this place could take a while. Footsteps thudded in the distance. Someone's coming, I whispered.
In there.
Cade pointed to the closest door. We darted into the room, which was thankfully empty, and quietly shut the door. I could just barely make out the sounds of footsteps in the distance. Please don't come in here. The only light in the room came from the thick gap under the door on either side of the walkway. It had been channeled out so the water could flow freely. The dim light illuminated the space just enough to make out the boxes that were piled up on the platform that covered almost the entire floor. A 2-foot area around the whole thing was open to the water below. A splash sounded from across the room. Same as before. I stiffened. Next to me, Cade turned quietly to face the room, his gaze going straight to where the splash had sounded. My senses went on high alert as I squinted into the dark. I could barely make out the individual towers of boxes, but something was definitely splashing around. 2 glowing green eyes appeared near the floor. Something was crawling out of the water. I raised my blade, hesitating, waiting to see what the heck it was.
Shh,
it hissed.
Shh,
I whispered back.
Quiet.
It raised a slender arm, putting a finger to its lips, or at least where I thought lips would be.
What is it?
I whispered to Cade.
No idea.
Come to help.
Its voice was more of a rusty hiss than anything else, like it wasn't used to talking. The creature crawled up to us, skinny and almost human-shaped, with dark gray skin. The glowing green eyes provided enough light to see its face, and it only appeared sort of human. Long hair hung from its head, looking more like weeds than anything else. The creature was creepy, but for some reason, I wasn't afraid. Not because it was small, which it was, no larger than a child, but I felt a strange kinship with it.
Who are you?
Cade asked. The creature ignored Cade, its eyes riveted to me, as it crept toward us on its webbed feet and hands.
Who are you?
Cade repeated.
I talk to her, the one with the power.
Its gaze stayed glued to me. I don't have any special power, I said.
You do, water woman. It is why I speak to you.
Water woman? Who are you?
Squeedo, of the Kappi clan. We lived here once, my people.
Kappi? Like Kappa? The water creatures?
The Italian branch. This was our home until he came.
Ricketts? Squeedo nodded.
Magical obstacles were meant to protect us, but he turned them to his will.
You mean the rooms with the skeletons and rising water? I asked. Squeedo nodded.
Now he is here, and he built these stupid wooden platforms, and my family is gone.
Why are you here, then? I asked.
To cause problems.
The creature grinned, revealing blackened fangs.
I come back to taunt him. I don't like him.
Me neither. The creature grinned wider.
Yes, yes. What do you want here? Only one to come here who doesn't stink of evil.
Squeedo's green gaze darted to Kate.
Him, too. Though he's not special like you.
I'm not special. Nope. No weird magic to see here, folks. Squeedo shrugged.
What do you want here?
To find a potion and to kill Ricketts. Squeedo clapped his, or her, webbed hands together.
Yes, yes, I will help you. And you will give us back this place.
This was the guide we needed. Squeedo could get us through this labyrinth. I looked at Cade. Can we give it back to them? Cade frowned, brow furrowed. Then he nodded.
Aye, if this is the ancestral home of the Kapi clan, we can make that happen.
Squeedo's eyes glued to me.
How?
Smart water monster. Squeedo wanted a plan before we got down to business. I looked at Cade.
How?
If we don't take out all of Ricketts's men, I'll come clean up the rest myself. Then the Protectorate can see about making this a restricted area. A sanctuary protected for the Kapi clan.
I grinned, liking the sound of that. It was like an endangered species preserve, except for water monsters. I looked at Squeedo. Satisfied?
I trust Water Woman. You trust him?
Yes. Squeedo nodded happily, eyes glowing.
Come, come.
He waved a webbed hand.
I will help you.
Thank Faith for supernaturals who hated Ricketts. They were our biggest asset. First, we have to find where he stores his potions. Then we'll go for him, I said.
Yes, yes.
Squeedo nodded.
We go to the crossroads. Potions to the right. End of the hall. Ricketts' office the other way. To the left. I'll divert guards. You steal. And kill.
I winced. He made it sound pretty bad when he said it like that. Oh, well. Beggars couldn't be choosers. And I wasn't going to look a gift monster in the mouth. The sound of footsteps had faded, so I looked at my companions and said, "Ready to go steal and kill?" Cade grinned.
"Aye."
"Yes, yes!"
The water monster gave a little hop of excitement. "Right then, steal and kill." I turned toward the door, wondering what my life had become. It's not like I'd been on the right track before, but steal and kill was really off the rails. Chapter 9. Squeedo leapt off the platform and swam through the little channel to the right of the door. I looked down into the murky water. It was just slightly too narrow for me to sneak through that way, and no way Cade could fit. Thank fates. I really didn't want to get in that stuff. We slipped out the door and into the empty hallway. Squeedo was swimming along the water channel on the left side. He waved at us to follow. I hurried along on silent feet, glancing into open rooms as we passed. Fortunately, all were empty, save one. And the person in that office was asleep on his desk. Crime was tiring. When we neared the crossroads, where the hall dead-ended and split left or right, footsteps sounded from the left. I stopped dead in my tracks next to Cade, gripping my daggers. Squeedo darted under the wooden walkway and swam down the left hall. There was a massive splash, then a shout. We ran for it, peering down the left corridor to see a guard wedged in the narrow water channel on the side of the hall. Squeedo on top of him, clinging like a monkey. He tore at the guard's neck with his teeth. There was no screaming. Squeedo seemed to have gone right for the voice box, and hopefully no one had heard the initial splash and crash. If that was Guido's signature move, I didn't want to get on his bad side. I grimaced, then darted right, hurrying along next to Cade. Fortunately, the doors in this hall were all shut, and the one at the end wasn't terribly far away. Magic seeped out from under the door, a dozen varying signatures.
"Has to be his potions room," I whispered.
Blood sorcerers performed their magic with blood. They could do some spells, but a lot of what they created was potions and enchanted charms. It wasn't necessarily illegal, though it did walk the line. It all depended on how the blood was obtained. Willingly, and you were good to go. Unwillingly? Yeah, the Order of the Magicka would object. And knowing Ricketts, I'd bet that he was high on their list. We stopped at the potions room door, and I pressed my ear to the wood.
"We're good,"
I whispered, then pushed at the door. It didn't budge.
"Let me."
Cade laid his hand on the wooden door. His magic swelled slightly, and I stepped back, not wanting to get a taste of his death magic again. It still hit me, sending visions of battle and death into my mind, but magic burst on the air, and the spell that protected the door broke. He gripped the doorknob, but it didn't turn.
"I got it."
I dug into my pocket and pulled out my picks, then got to work. 6 seconds later, it popped open. We stepped inside. Hundreds of magical signatures rolled out from inside the room. Everything from the scent of clean grass to the taste of old fish.
Ick.
Tables, cluttered with hundreds of bottles and all sorts of magical tools, lined every wall, and herbs hung from the ceiling. Before shutting the door, I peered back out at Squido. The body was gone, and so was he. Must have pulled it under the dock. I shuddered, then shut the door quietly behind us. The only light came from the dim glow seeping from under the door. Once my eyes adjusted, I hurried to one of the long tables against the wall, going straight for the candlestick.
"Old school."
I lit it with a nearby lamp. Cade lit one of his own.
"Hard to run electric down here, especially if you've stolen the place from some water monsters."
We held our candles near the vials and jars on the tables. They were stacked in wooden boxes and carefully labeled. There were hundreds. Acid bomb, illusion mist, eternal sunshine, murder, house cat.
"House cat?" I muttered.
"Maybe you turn into one."
I don't know. I kind of wanted to take it, though, just to see. Get on track. I bent low over the tables and studied the many little labels. My chest burned with pain as I searched, as if it were urging me on to find the antidote quickly. I tried to breathe shallowly to manage the pain. Thank fate Hedy had given us the pain potion. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like without it. Cade went to the table along the other wall. A moment later, he stood straight.
"Found it."
I hurried over, bending low to inspect the spidery writing that marked the little box full of potions.
"Lithica."
Right between jelly legs and spider head. I poked at the glass bottles in the Lithica box.
"There's two different colored bottles."
"One must be the poison, and the other the antidote."
There was no blue glass, so they hadn't been decanted into bomb form yet.
Only he would know. Good security system. Not great for us.
Hedy will be able to tell.
Right, so we take it all.
I looked around for a bag. Footsteps sounded at the door, just before it opened. Fear shot through me, cold and bright. I grabbed for the jelly legs potion, going for one with thin glass that was likely to be a bomb. Those exploded on impact, then whirled around.
"What are you doing?"
An old man stood at the door, face incredulous. I hurled the jelly legs potion at him. He collapsed, his legs going out from under him. In his eyes, shock gave way to fear, and he opened his mouth. Cade was on him before he could scream, slapping a hand over his mouth. Quietly, he shut the door so no one could see us.
"Get me a gag."
"On it."
I glanced around frantically, my gaze finally landing on some tape and white cloth. I brought it to Cade, who bound the old man's mouth.
Now what?
He asked. Let's call it good. The man was at least 70 years old. His magic stank, a sure sign he didn't use it for good. But I can't kill an old man. Just make sure you tie him up good. We'll tell the order he's here. I'm going to grab the potions. I took the tape back to the box of Lithica and taped up the top so that the little jars would stay protected inside the wooden box. Then I tossed the whole thing in a large canvas bag I found, hanging from a hook on the wall. Do one last sweep, I told Cade. Take anything that looks like it might be an antidote, or anything that looks handy. I grabbed a box and filled it with a few potions that said, antidote, though they didn't say to what exactly. But just in case, I didn't want to get this wrong. Then I grabbed a few more potions just for the hell of it. They were usually expensive, and I could use them in a fight. Sleeping potion, acid bomb, smoke cloud, oil slick, and house cat. I put the fighting potions into a smaller bag so I could get at them easily, then joined Cade, who was putting another box into the big canvas bag.
We have to have at least 100 bottles here, he said.
Good. One of them has to be the cure, and I like the idea of cleaning Ricketts out.
Ready to go find him?
Born ready. I winced. That sounded way cooler on TV. Cade grinned at me. Whatever. Let's go. He nodded, kindly letting it slide, and we went to the door. He pushed it open, and I peeked out. Coast is clear. I slipped out into the hall, the smaller bag of weaponized potions over my shoulder. Weaponized potions and house cat. Which could be a weapon. Who was I to say? I just hadn't been able to resist. Quickly, we made our way down the hall. My senses were on high alert, listening for footsteps and trying to pick up any unfamiliar magical signatures. I scanned the water around us, looking for Squeedo. A splash sounded from up ahead. A dark gray head popped above the surface of the murky water. He's there, I whispered. Squeedo pointed to the door at the end of the hall. It had to be the room he'd said would contain Ricketts. We hurried forward. When we reached the crossroads in the hall, I slowed, pulling a potion bomb out of my little bag. I peered around the edge of the wall, looking down the hall toward the entrance to the catacombs. Coast is clear, I murmured. We moved toward Squeedo on silent feet. Then I heard footsteps. Dang! I darted back, peering around the corner. A demon was striding toward us. I hurled the potion bomb at him, using all the skill I'd honed while training with my knives. It crashed against his chest, exploding in a burst of green liquid. His eyes rolled back in his head, and he keeled over backward, landing hard against the wooden walkway. He didn't move. Passed out. I rejoined Cade. Let's go! We raced the last 20 feet toward Squeedo, who'd climbed up onto the walkway and crouched in front of the door at the end of the hall, excitement in his green eyes. He looked a lot like Gollum, but uglier and more charming, if that was possible. Squeedo pointed to the door.
Open. 7 inside.
I grimaced. 7 was a lot without using my sonic boom power.
Where's Ricketts?
I mouthed.
Straight in. Behind desk.
Squeedo's hiss was low.
The others?
Cade asked.
All around room. Sitting.
Cade, who was carrying the bag of antidote potions, took the thing off his shoulder and hung it over a wall sconce, no doubt so it wouldn't get destroyed in the fight that was to come. I pressed my ear to the door, trying to focus on picking up any voices. Cade did the same. Our eyes met. Tension sent a shiver through me. We were just too close. Why hadn't he faced the other way? I dropped my gaze.
What is it?
A voice growled. Not Ricketts's. I'd only met him in person once, but his voice wasn't that deep.
The magic that I need to catch them,
Ricketts said. At least, I thought it was Ricketts.
How, though?
The lower voice said.
I must determine that, Ricketts said.
but it's greater power than I've ever known.
I frown. What the hell was he talking about?
I don't know, boss,
growled the low voice.
You sure you trust her?
You leave that to me.
All right. Just getting hungry. Making me antsy.
I pulled back from the door. If they were going to come out to eat, we'd lose the element of surprise. Kay drew back as well, clearly thinking the same thing. Then he pressed his hand to the door. His magic swelled so lightly that I could barely feel it. He turned to me and whispered,
No spell.
Good.
Let's get this show on the road. I hate waiting.
Already, my heart was racing. We needed to get into the battle now. I dug into my bag for a smoke cloud potion and yanked it out. I held it up so Cade could see the label. He nodded.
Three.
Squeedo slipped back into the water, no doubt to launch a sneak attack from below. Little did Ricketts know that his stupid walkways had left a secret channel for his enemy. On three, Cade kicked down the door. I took a quick look inside, long enough to see Ricketts at the back of the room, and three guys on each side. Then I hurled the smoke bomb. The little glass ball exploded against the ground. Gray smoke plumed upward, filling the room. The jerks inside began to cough. Yeah, take that. He didn't like a taste of his own magic, did he? I wanted to shout it, but that'd give away my position. I drew my daggers from the ether and rushed into the room, then threw them on memory. There was a thud, a splash, a delighted shriek from Squeedo. The second dagger clattered against the wall. One out of two ain't bad when you can't see. I crouched low and dug into my sack as Cade rushed toward the sidewall, his huge sword drawn. Though I'd normally prefer my sword, in this smoke, I'd have an advantage with the bombs. Anyway, I like to mix it up. Adventurers and demon slaying. It was important to keep one's work interesting, after all. Variety was the spice of life. My hand closed around a potion bomb, as the smoke in front of me brightened with a yellow glow.
Fireball!
I dove left, skidding low along the ground as the fireball sailed overhead, singeing my hair.
Who are you?
Ricketts bellowed through the smoke.
Your worst nightmare!
Ah, crap. That also sounded cooler in the movies.
Whatever.
I dug into my sack for another potion bomb. The smoke was clearing, and I spotted a large form cutting through the gloom. I hurled the potion bomb. The demon dodged, so fast I could hardly see him, and the bomb exploded against the stone wall.
Dang.
Super-fast demons were damned hard to fight. Sword or bombs? Squeedo leapt from the water behind the demon, catching him by surprise and clinging to his neck and forehead. He sank his fangs into the demon's skull, and the demon whirled around, trying to grab him.
Bomb it is.
I grabbed a potion bomb and heaved it at the beast. It slammed into his back, exploding in a burst of pink smoke. The demon howled, and the smell of burning flesh rent the air. He tumbled onto his front, Squeedo going down with him. The little water monster gave another shriek of glee. Ricketts had climbed onto his desk to get a better vantage point. His long black jacket flapped around him, making him look like a Matrix wannabe. His dark hair and goatee were ruthlessly trimmed, and his black eyes blazed. A hulking demon stood in front of him, guarding his master. To the left, Cade was fighting the only other demon. The beast was 8.5 feet tall if he was an inch, and wielded a blade as long as I was. Squeedo was still on top of his demon, chowing away. I grimaced, turning my gaze back to Ricketts, who looked enraged.
Hiding behind your hired gun? Afraid to fight? I taunted.
Ricketts grinned, shark-like.
I have you right where I want you. After all that effort, you came right to me.
Where? Perfectly in line to kick your ass?
I dug into my sack. He hurled a potion bomb. I dived left, and it sailed by me. The glass ball exploded against the wall, and a plume of white mist unfurled. I lunged away from it, toward Ricketts.
It was the only direction to go to get away. But the mist caught me in its grip, clinging tight to my legs. I tried to run, but its grip held tight, like the blob from that movie. I threw the potion bomb in my hand. It crashed into the chest of the big demon, and surprise flashed on his face. "What? Thought my arms were caught too?" I asked. Light swirled around the demon, and he shrank, turning into a white house cat with piercing blue eyes. I looked at Ricketts. "Seriously? An actual house cat?" I couldn't kill a freaking kitty, even if it was a demon. The cat hissed and ran behind the desk. Well, that was one way to get rid of enemies. But I really hoped he'd turn back into a demon. I did not have time to find a home for a magical demon cat. On the other side of the room, Cade continued to battle the huge demon, landing a good blow to the side. They were evenly matched, both bleeding from wounds to their arms and chest. It might be a while. I pulled my sword from the ether as Ricketts dug into the pocket of his flowing coat. He pulled out another potion bomb. Shit! I swung the sword for the mist that surrounded me, hoping I could cut through the stuff. Ricketts chucked his bomb. I dodged as best I could, but with my legs trapped, I couldn't go far. The acid bomb nailed me in the shoulder. I shrieked as pain tore through me. Bastard! I'll take that as a compliment. I hacked at the mist surrounding my legs. The grip loosened, until finally I slipped free. Ricketts dug into his pocket, then flung another potion bomb. I dove left, avoiding the bomb but not the backsplash. The thing exploded against the wall, spraying me with a freezing cold solution that burned my skin. "I haven't tested that one yet," Ricketts said. "What's the verdict?" "That you're a two-bit egg-sucking rat bastard." I scrambled to my feet. I lunged for him, sword raised. He stuck his hand into his pocket, but before he could pull anything out, the desk beneath him rocked, rising up from the ground and throwing him off it. Right into me. I collapsed under him, but not before my sword sliced his arm. He hissed and rolled off me. Behind him, the big demon who turned into a house cat climbed out from behind the upended desk. The spell had worn off while he'd been hiding under it. Cade landed a killing blow to his massive demon, a stab right to the neck, then leapt for the demon who was no longer fabulously fluffy. I scrambled to my feet and raised my sword, going for Ricketts. He threw a potion bomb to the ground in front of him. It exploded, and magic surged up, a pearlescent shield. My sword collided with it. Ricketts gave an evil smirk. "Not through my shield." "I'll just wait it out, or Cade might get you." "He won't, but I will get you." His eyes glittered with promise. "Pretty hard to get me when you're outnumbered." Behind him, Cade beheaded the last demon. "And, yep, there goes your last guard."
"Oh, there's more than one way to get you. And now I have the means," he hissed.
Then he threw something on the ground. I caught sight of a black pebble right before a silvery cloud burst up. "No!" I screamed, lunging for him. I slammed into the barrier, getting a miserable electric shock for the trouble. Pain surged. He stepped into the transportation charm and disappeared. "Damn it!" I nearly threw my sword to the ground, but I'd never do that. No amount of frustration would make me let go of my weapon. But it was close. "Damn it, damn it, damn it!" Squeedo looked up from his demon, who'd almost entirely disappeared.
"Missed?"
"Yes," I scowled. "But we'll get him, Squeedo. I promise." Squeedo nodded.
"You'd better."
Cade wiped his blade off on one of the demon's shirts.
"Are there any more in the building, Squeedo?"
"I think not, but more may come. He has more."
"We'll take care of them."
Cade looked toward me. His chest and arms seeped blood, but otherwise, he looked as dashing as an ancient Celtic warrior. Which he was, basically. except for the ancient part.
Are you all right?
Yeah. I stepped toward him, then immediately stumbled. Okay, no.
Adrenaline had kept me going, but now I was starting to feel my wounds. The acid bite on my shoulder, in particular. Concern darkened Cade's features, and he approached, studying my shoulder.
The acid has stopped eating your flesh, at least.
You really know how to soothe a girl.
Sorry, but your leather jacket protected you.
His eyes met mine.
Let me heal you.
You can heal?
It's the other side of the battle power. Wounding and healing. That gives my power balance. I don't use it often, though.
Wow. That sounded great, but it's not that bad. Let's get out of here and deal with it. I don't want Ricketts coming back with reinforcements. We really only had a chance when we had the element of surprise. And we need to get these antidotes to Hetty, so she can identify the proper one.
I'll call Emily, the transport mage. She can meet us at the safe house.
I nodded, then turned towards Guido. Can you lead us out of here, so we don't get drowned or destroyed by skeletons?
Guido nodded.
Yes, yes. Come.
We followed him out of the room. Cade grabbed the bag of antidotes from where he'd stashed it. Then we headed down the boardwalk. Though there wasn't supposed to be anyone here, my senses were on high alert. I couldn't wait to get out of this underwater death trap. When we reached the crossroads in the hall, one direction leading out, the other leading to the potions room, I stopped and looked at Cade.
You think we can clean him out in 60 seconds?
He nodded.
Good.
I looked at Guido. Hang on a moment. We ran to the potion room. The man was still bound in the corner.
I'll send someone down to pick him up, Cade said. We'll give him to the orderer.
Good.
I didn't like the idea of killing non-demons. Even bad ones. We grabbed up several large sacks and filled them with as many potions as they would hold. Probably got 90% of the stash. Call me greedy, but I liked the idea of cleaning him out. It'd also give him less weapons. My shoulder burned as we carried our booty back to Guido, who waited for us.
Good.
He nodded, then turned and hurried down the hall. It didn't take long to make it back, not with Guido knowing just how to get us through the enchantments. At the stairs, Guido said goodbye.
We'll take care of the rest, I promised, meeting Cade's gaze.
He nodded.
Good.
Guido waved, and we hurried up through the quiet church. Where now? I asked, once we made it out onto the front steps of the church.
I'll find out.
He pulled a cell phone from his pocket, then gestured for me to follow. We hurried through the narrow, darkened streets of Venice. I listened as he talked to someone, presumably someone from the Protectorate, and made arrangements to meet. He hung up as we reached the speedboat, and carefully lowered his sacks of potion bombs into the cockpit. I did the same with mine. We hopped in, and he pulled away from the dock, the engine at a low rumble.
How are those wounds?
He asked.
Fine.
They burned like hell, actually, but I wasn't going to complain. Wouldn't do any good anyway. The moon hung heavy and full in the sky, glittering on the canals.
We're going to a Protectorate safe house, he said. Emily, the transporter, will meet us there.
The transporter?
Yes. She'll take the potions back, so that Hetty can determine the cure.
Perfect.
We'd lose very little time that way. The smaller back canals were dead silent, as we motored through the town, passing historic buildings, with baskets full of flowers tumbling from the windows. Despite the quietness of the back canals, the Grand Canal was still bustling with party life. People in costume were singing and dancing. I slouched low in the seat, not wanting anyone to see how beat up I was. I didn't know how alert the cops were here, but we didn't need to get caught by humans. Any delay was unwelcome, since I was beyond ready for some dinner and a shower. And maybe a bit of that healing Cade had promised. When he pulled the boat up to a massive white mansion at the edge of the Grand Canal, I looked at him.
You have got to be kidding me!
Chapter 10.
Not a joke.
He pulled the boat into the garage. Boathouse? That was on the first level of the four-story mansion. This is really the Protectorate's safe house? One of the biggest mansions in Venice.
Aye. Ricketts may send his goons after you, but they won't get through here.
He cut the engine and tied the boat off to the dock, then climbed out. He reached a hand down. I took it with my good arm and let him haul me up, then helped him gather the bags out of the boat. I followed him to the stairs, wincing as the protective magic prickled over my skin.
Let me go first,
he said.
The magic will recognize me and disengage.
I swept an arm out. Age before beauty. He chuckled, then disengaged the charm locking the door and started up the stairs. We passed the first three floors entirely. By the third flight, I was panting, exhausted from the day's endeavors.
These floors are empty, he said. Security.
What kind?
Statues that come alive on the first floor. Poison gas on the second floor. And giant snakes on the third. They're just magic, though. Otherwise, it'd be inhumane.
Snakes don't like mansions in Venice. I nodded sagely. At least, I was aiming for sagely. Everyone knows that.
Precisely.
I grinned, liking how he went along with my silliness. It was the only thing keeping me from tearing up over the pain in my shoulder. He led us onto the fourth floor, disengaged another locked door, and my mouth immediately watered at the scent of pizza. The lights were already on, illuminating an amazing living area that looked like something out of a fancy old movie.
Took you long enough.
Emily grinned, stepping forward out of the living room, which was done entirely in cream and pale gold. Several pizza boxes sat on the table. Brought you food.
Thank you,
Cade said. You're a saint. I beelined straight for her, handing over the box containing the antidotes. The cure is one of the potions in here, but Hetty will have to test them. And seriously, thank you for the pizza. She nodded, and I didn't waste any time, leaving her to chat with Cade while I went for the pizza. I chowed down on pepperoni, trying not to pay attention to my arm or the pain in my chest. I prayed that Hetty could identify that antidote soon. See you later, Emily called. Then she disappeared. I swallowed the last bite of my third piece of pizza as Cade joined me. I gestured to the fancy room and the huge arched windows that gave a view of the Grand Canal. The Protectorate sure likes it fancy.
Not always, but when in Rome or Venice.
He sat next to me, his big form taking up a good bit of sofa real estate. He leaned in to inspect my arm and shoulder.
It still looks bad. Can I do something about it?
Like what exactly? I swallowed hard. He was so close that I could see the different colors of green in his eyes, the small muscles and veins in his hands. Against all odds, he still smelled good. Heat flushed through me.
My healing power is the opposite of death. I'd give you a small amount of my power, of life, and your wounds would disappear. It's a last resort, something I do rarely.
Okay. I shifted so that my shoulder was near him. He raised a big hand and hovered it over the acid burn. He was even closer now. So close, I could just lean in and kiss him. I hadn't been attracted to someone in ages. And Cade was, well, a freaking war god. And as handsome and strong as you'd expect one to be. I swallowed hard, trying to focus on anything else. Then his power began to flow into me, strong and bright. I gasped. It filled me with light, with warmth. And I felt him. Not physically, but who he was. Like the qualities that made him unique. Bravery, honor, pure goodness, a little bit of danger and ruthlessness. Each quality felt slightly different, but was so distinct. Then heat ran through me, shivering along my skin and into my bones. Desire welled up. His for me, or mine for him? My gaze darted to his, The green of his eyes blazed with warmth, his lids slightly lowered. His full lips parted. Warmth surged through me. The pain had faded from my body, and pure want had taken its place. His gaze dropped to my lips. He gripped the edge of the table tightly, his knuckles turning white. The one that hovered in front of my shoulder trembled slightly. Oh, fates! Did he want to kiss me? From the heat in his gaze, yes. I leaned in slightly, more of a sway than a conscious movement. He swallowed hard and removed his hand that hovered over my shoulder. The spell broke, the connection severed. I gasped, leaning backward. The heat was still there, the desire, but the connection was gone. I almost vibrated with the loss. Had he really wanted to kiss me? Why hadn't he? Not that it mattered. Get it together. Finally, I composed myself. What happened there? His brow creased.
That's unusual.
I could feel you.
Me too.
Really? My heart thundered. What did you find?
Honor and love. Fear and bravery.
Fear? My gaze snapped to his.
I could sense it back in the crypt, too. Any time we were about to face a new challenge. But then you'd throw yourself right into it.
Well, yeah, of course I was scared. I'm not a freaking idiot. I've got a highly developed sense of self-preservation.
But you jumped into the fight anyway.
His green eyes searched mine, assessing. The heat still hadn't faded, but the strangeness of talking about myself on such a personal level was starting to drive it off.
Why'd you jump in if you were so afraid?
Gotta get the job done.
So as soon as you get scared, you leap into the fray.
Yeah, I'm like Pavlov's dog now. Scared, fight. Scared, fight. I shrugged. It's worked out well for me so far.
I'd say so.
He nodded, eyebrows raised, and his expression clearly impressed.
I've been with many people in battle. Thousands. Not just what I've seen myself, but a sense I get. Like I've known all the warriors who've ever lived. Many of them lack fear.
Huh. Well, not me.
That's what makes you braver than most.
Heat singed my cheeks. Let's change the subject.
All right.
His gaze sharpened.
You developed new magic back in the tomb.
Actually, let's talk about how brave I am. His keen gaze pinned me like a bug. I swallowed hard, the heat inside me intensifying into a searing discomfort. I was majorly attracted to a guy I couldn't trust. Sure, he was honorable, but where did that honor lie? Not with me. He barely knew me. And sure, the Protectorate said they wanted me and Anna. But would they still want us when they learned what we were? They wanted our skills and power. But they didn't know where that magical power came from. Even we didn't know that. But my mother had sure put the fear of discovery into us.
Rhee, you can tell me.
His deep voice was soothing. Except that it did just the opposite for me. Not much to tell.
You have serious power. Magic that you need to learn to control.
I will.
I understand that you're wary, he said. I'll help you.
Okay. Yeah, right.
I mean it.
Mm-hmm. I stood and wandered over to the window, knowing that I was blowing this. I wasn't doing a good job at deflecting his interest or attention, but I wasn't used to having a real conversation with anyone besides Anna. Or Rowan, when she'd been around. The rest of our life was fighting and bullshitting with our clients. This up-close-and-personal stuff was like a dog trying to speak English. And I was the dog. You should eat. The pizza is getting cold. I pushed open the window and leaned out, sucking in the warm, fresh air. The sight below was breathtaking. The wide Grand Canal stretched out in both directions, moonlight glittering on the water. Huge mansions lit by golden light loomed on either side, and colorful boats floated below. It'd be really romantic if I weren't scared for my life.
and on us. That was my priority right now. Then figuring out if we'd stay at the Protectorate. I was scared of revealing what I really was, but I was also scared of my new powers. So, which was more frightening? I had no idea. I turned back to Cade. He was eating a slice of pizza and watching me. A ridiculous activity that he somehow managed to make look sexy. Oh, I was an idiot. We need to figure out where Ricketts went, I said. If he has another bolt hole. Cade nodded.
We will, but first we'll rest. You look like you're about to fall over.
I felt like it, too. But now that an antidote had been found, the worst of our time crunch had passed. Okay, tomorrow we'll get started. I turned and inspected the large room. Which way to a bedroom? He pointed left, to a doorway near the windows.
Take that one. There are women's clothes in the armoire, and I'll see you in the morning.
I nodded, not bothering to say goodnight, then turned and headed to the bedroom. I flicked on the light, getting a glimpse of a bedroom that looked like something a king would sleep in. All ivory and gold again, and immediately headed for the bed. I barely made it out of my dirty clothes before falling face first onto the downy mattress. As I drifted off, images of Cade flashed through my mind, along with snippets of the conversation I'd heard through the door at Ricketts' headquarters. Hours later, I shot awake, heart pounding. I know where Ricketts is. Chapter 11. The conversation that I'd heard through the door had been running through my head all night. Finally, I put it together. In a dream, maybe? I leapt out of bed and raced across the room, realizing right before I hit the door that I was nearly naked. I grabbed a blanket that had been thrown over a chair near the window and threw it over my shoulders, then burst out into the living room. Cade! I shouted. Get up! There were four doors leading off the main living area. Which was his? I ran toward the one directly across from me. Right before I reached it, he pulled open the door and stepped out. I nearly collided with his naked chest. If I hadn't been so freaked out, I'd have taken a moment to admire his godlike muscles. And since he was a god, I wouldn't have been embarrassed about describing him as godlike.
What is it?
His dark hair was mussed from sleep. I know where Ricketts is.
Really?
His eyes sharpened, any last vestiges of sleepiness disappearing. Yeah. He said there was more than one way to get to me. He meant my sister. The loss of her would be worse than my own death. Ricketts must have known that. Back at his compound, we heard him through the door. He was talking about magic that would finally allow him to capture us. Someone gave it to him. His goons haven't been successful, so I haven't worried too much about them. But he would be. Now he has something that will help him try to nab us directly.
And since he's failed with you, he'll try for her.
Cade nodded, his face serious.
That makes sense. We'll go to her immediately. She's in a safe house in northeast Scotland. A castle in the woods, with excellent security. Don't worry. There will be over a dozen guards around the property, ready to apprehend Ricketts or his men. And there are more in the castle with her.
A trap. Good. I turned to go back to the bedroom to get dressed. Let's get out of here soon. Do we have a transport charm to get to Sire?
Sire? I didn't say where she was located. How did you know?
I turned. We have our own connection charms. We bought them a while ago. After Rowan had disappeared. If only we'd done it sooner. Family is everything, Cade. His gaze shuddered slightly. Did he no longer have a family? That was a question for another time. I hurried back toward the bedroom and got dressed in record time, digging through the assortment of spare clothes in the armoire. I found jeans, a t-shirt, and a leather jacket that suited me, then returned to the living room. Cade was dressed and ready to go, wearing clothes that were identical to his last ones. You keep things stored here? I asked.
In all the safe houses.
He pulled a black stone out of his pocket.
Ready?
Yeah. I joined him and took his hand.
He threw the stone onto the ground, and a plume of sparkling gray smoke rose up. We stepped into it, appearing in the woods in Scotland a moment later. Into chaos. Panicked shouts echoed through the forest. My heart leapt into my throat, and I spun around, searching for the threat. The morning sun filtered through the trees, illuminating the broken branches and trunks that had been snapped in half. "He's here!" I drew my throwing knives from the ether and raced for Anna, drawn by the tug in my chest. Cade joined me, his long legs carrying him ahead of me. The destruction of the woods was crazy. Huge trees torn up and toppled over. Broken branches and gouges in the dirt. Something catastrophic had torn through here. A body lay about 15 feet off the path of destruction. A man. I didn't stop, though guilt tugged at me. But I could feel Anna. She was here. I had to get to her. The forest lightened as I neared the edge. People were leaping out of the trees and joining me on the path, running for the castle ahead. Some looked familiar, like Protectorate staff. They must have been the guards. "What happened?" I screamed at a nearby man. He was blonde, and his magic smelled of the sea. His gaze looked wild. "Tornado!" In Scotland? That was insane. I sprinted out of the forest. In the middle of the clearing sat a tall stone tower, surrounded by a hulking castle wall. A chunk was torn out of the wall, and a large gray tornado was sweeping off into the distance. Then, Anna disappeared. I felt it, deep in my chest, and stumbled, going to my knees. She was no longer here. And the tornado was gone, too. "No!" I scrambled to my feet, heart thundering. The sun shined brightly on the mountains sweeping out in front of me. They were coated with purple heather. A beautiful sight, if not for the chaos of the wounded castle and the people running around, shouting for their colleagues. I ran for the castle, for answers, for Cade. I found him at the edge of the wall, staring through the giant hole that had been torn by the tornado. The castle inside was a single tower, with walls at least 10 feet thick. It was easy to get exact dimensions, since the danged corner of the castle was missing too. Near the castle wall, Hetty was on the phone. Possibly with the Protectorate? Jude ran out of the castle, scrambling over the broken stone. Her gray hair was coated with dust, and the stone-cold expression that I'd first seen her wearing was replaced with panic. "I've never seen anything like it." She ran up to us, panting. "He came as a tornado, blasted through 20 of our guards before we realized what was happening." "Did he get Anna?" Cade demanded. "Yes, he got her." I turned on Jude, voice harsh. "You said she'd be safe here, but she was bait, and she was caught." "I'm sorry." Jude's expression hardened. "He shouldn't have had weather magic like that. No one has weather magic like that." "Someone gave him more power, but I have no idea who," I said. "It just happened, though. We heard him talking about it in Venice." "Damn it!" A thundercloud crossed Jude's face.
"Bree, can you locate where your sister went?"
Cade asked. I frowned, focusing on the connection charm that I hoped would help me find Anna. I stepped back from everyone, trying to clear my mind. This was why we'd bought these things, so we wouldn't lose another sister. I couldn't bear to lose another sister. Tears pricked my eyes. Please work. If Ricketts knew that she had a connection charm, he could do something to block it. Fear chilled my skin. Please don't realize.
"What's she doing?"
Jude asked Cade.
"Give her a moment."
I envisioned Anna, begging the connection charm to make a link. Finally, it flared to life inside me. I looked up. "Mexico. 100 miles east of Mexico City. That's where he's taken her." Jude nodded, her expression firm and accepting.
"Fine. We'll send reinforcements with you."
Her gaze met Cade's. "How many transport charms do you have?"
3 more.
Jude nodded.
"Good. That will transport 15 people.
Emily can take more.
Hetty hurried up to us.
Lee, your sister has had her antidote.
She dug into her pocket and handed me a little vial.
Here's yours. Take it before you go.
Thank fates. At least that was fixed. I looked down at the vial. Did I trust her? For so long, I trusted no one but Anna. But Anna had trusted Hetty enough to take the potion. And I did trust Hetty, even though it was strange to admit to myself. Bottoms up. I drank the potion, then shivered as strength flowed through me. The pain in my chest faded, a glorious pleasure. I hadn't realized how crappy I'd been feeling. I chalked up any weakness to exhaustion, but it had been the poison.
Thanks. I feel a lot better.
Bree! A feminine voice sounded from behind me. I turned. Carol ran for me, Ollie and Harris at her side.
We were in the woods, guarding the castle. I'm sorry he got past us.
He had magic none of us anticipated. Something huge.
Let's go get her, Carol said. We've got your back.
My chest warmed. No one had ever said that to me, except Rowan and Bree.
Thanks.
Where are we off to?
Ollie grinned.
I've been itching for a fight.
Mexico. Cade joined me, resting a big hand on my shoulder. It was stupid, but I drew strength from it. Behind Caro, a crowd gathered. About 20 of them. Our reinforcements. Maybe this protectorate thing wasn't so bad after all. Not if they had our backs like this.
I have 3 charms, Cade said. Divide into groups of 5. 3 will take the charms. Emily will take the rest.
He turned to me.
We'll go first with Emily and get the coordinates. Then she'll return and tell everyone else where to go.
Perfect. Cade handed the charms over to Jude, and Emily joined us.
Ready?
She held out her hands. Cade and I each took one. Imagine where we're going, she said. Picture it in your mind as clearly as you can. I'll take us there.
Okay.
I did as she asked, feeling the location more than seeing it. But there was water and jungle, the sound of night animals, moonlight. A moment later, the ether sucked us in. My heart thundered as we stepped out into the dark night. In front of us, the moon hung heavy over an island in the middle of a calm lagoon. A massive step pyramid sat in the middle of the island, surrounded on all sides by smaller pyramids.
Texoctotlan,
Cade breathed. He tore his gaze away and looked at his fancy watch, pressing some buttons. He looked up at Emily and rattled off some numbers. Coordinates, I realized. She nodded and disappeared. Cade's odd gaze returned to the abandoned ancient city.
What is it? I asked.
The capital of the supernatural Aztecs. Human Aztecs built Tenochtitlan, which is now in Mexico City. It was much like this, but this one is too far into the jungle. Humans have never found it.
Aztecs?
Shit. Back when we'd still had a TV, before Rowan had disappeared, and we'd spent all our spare money hunting for her, we'd loved old history shows. Didn't they practice human sacrifice? Blood sacrifice? Cade's gaze turned dark.
They did.
My heart almost burst out of my chest, and fear iced my skin.
Oh no. That's what's changed.
The reason he's upped his game in trying to catch us. He's not just going to kill us. He wants more than that.
Magic. Our blood.
This is no coincidence.
I sucked in a ragged breath and started forward. No time to delay. The lagoon was about 50 meters from us. A long bridge, at least 100 meters in length, stretched over it. Several more bridges spanned the lagoon on other sides. The full moon gleamed on the massive pyramid in the middle of the island. It had a wide, flat top and was built of huge steps, unlike the Egyptian pyramids that were smooth-sided. We were too far away to see people, but Anna was definitely here. I could feel her.
It's been abandoned for centuries,
Cade said.
The supernatural Aztecs lasted longer than the human ones,
since the conquistadors never found them. But they left here long ago.